Hi, and welcome to Catastrophic Comeback. This particular series within Catastrophic Comeback is devoted to people that might have legal ways to recover from catastrophic events. The Catastrophic series as a whole is designed to help anybody who's had a life-changing event in their lives, a life-changing injury, loss of a loved one, a diagnosis, something terrible, whether you have legal recourse or not. This particular series is devoted to those who do have legal recourse or may have legal recourse. And so we want those people to have an idea of what to do going forward. And so, for example, when my kids were little, they used to love to ride roller coasters, you know, and I hate riding roller coasters. And so, but what I found that is that when I, it was intimidating for me. So what I found that if I was in line and I could look it up on my phone and see like a point of view, video of roller coasters and how, and what to expect, then it took away some of the fear, some of the anxiety, and it made it easier for me to you know, participate and enjoy myself. And so I'm hoping that by us talking to you and showing you what to expect in a litigation process, in a to engage in a legal recovery, in a financial recovery, in a legal battle to recover damages, that it'll take away some of the fear, take away some of the anxiety, and put you in a better position to make good decisions for yourself and your family, and then lead to a comprehensive recovery so that you can make a full and complete, you know, physical, financial, and emotional recovery. And that's the purpose of this particular series. So welcome. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Catastrophic Comeback Podcast with American injury lawyer Clark Speaks, helping you find hope, purpose, and joy after a catastrophic injury.
Welcome back. Jeff, you had just mentioned in our last episode that in these catastrophic cases, it's important that your lawyer have a reputation and that your lawyer have experience, not just in personal injury, but in dealing with catastrophic million and multi-million dollar cases. And you had mentioned that from a defense perspective, you had talked about how we tend to see in million and multi-million dollar cases the same few lawyers on the defense side as well. It's like this. Everybody who's got a billboard is a personal injury lawyer. But once a case gets to a certain level, the pool of people who are qualified to deal with those cases on both sides, plaintiff side and defense side, becomes smaller. Is that consistent with your observations?
That is absolutely consistent. You know, there's a lot of personal injury lawyers, a lot of lawyers that advertise, and a lot of lawyers that will advertise a big verdict here and there. That does not mean that they're capable of doing a catastrophic case or doing it on a regular basis or that they've done a bunch of them or taken those cases through the court system and, you know, tried those cases. They may have, you know, walked into a big claim and were able to settle it for, you know, a couple million dollars. The question is, was that couple million dollars what they should have gotten, or maybe it should have been twice that much? You know, so you trying to find a lawyer that does this on a regular basis is not easy, but they're out there, and, you know, we have a whole division focused on that. So we do it all the time. That's not the case with all plaintiff's lawyers. The defense lawyers are the same way. When I was doing insurance defense, you know, if it was, if you had a car wreck case, you were going to deal with me as a young associate. If you had a dog bite case, you were going to deal with me as a young associate. If you had a catastrophic case, you were going to work for my senior partner back then, who had been working for 25 years and tried all kinds of cases against everybody there is to try a case against. And you were going to, like, that was a whole nother level of lawyer at that point. And, you know, I mean, I was 1 or 2 years out of law school, and this guy's been doing it for decades. There's a different quality of lawyer that's going to fight these catastrophic cases. And if you've got a guy that hasn't done that a lot on a regular basis going against a defense lawyer that does it all the time, that's all they do, that is a severe disadvantage.
Yeah, you don't want to go in and fight Mike Tyson without Mike Tyson. You know, you got to have. They're going to have Mike Tyson on their side. You need Mike Tyson on your side.
Yeah, it's like a lightweight boxer who's, you know, 5'10" and 150 pounds fighting a heavyweight who's, you know, 6'5" and 250. That's not much of a fight.
So that reminds me of a scenario. I remember going into a client's house, catastrophic injury, very, very serious life-changing injuries, required full-time care of not one but two different nurses, just a life-changing, great guy, great family. And I remember, you know, we'd been representing him for maybe a year or so at that point in time, and I'm updating him on all the different things that we're doing to build. And, you know, and he understands and he's acknowledging it. And then I can see in his face, he didn't want to ask me, but I can see in his face that he's like, you know, is all this necessary? You know, is all this necessary? That all these things that you're doing, experts, because, I mean, in that case, we had an engineering expert, we had an economic expert, we had a future medical expert, we had a past medical experts, you know, to show causation and all those types of things. We did not designate, but we had consulted with a biomechanical engineer. We had safety experts. We had a lot of people involved. In addition, we had also filed suits in state court and federal court with the Work Industrial Commission. You know, we had done all these different things, right, to build, and we had set a trial date, a peremptory trial date, so that they couldn't move. So they couldn't continue the case or whatever, so they couldn't delay it anymore. We had expanded our pleadings to include, you know, gross negligence and all these different kinds of things. And there's a part of him that was like, you know, is all this necessary? Look how seriously I'm injured. Like, it's, you know, and but when you look back at that, they didn't offer us $1. They didn't offer us a single dollar until the day that that case resolved for eight figures. You know, they didn't offer us one red cent until the day it resolved. And I remember telling him that day, I said to him, "Hey, man, I could get you $3 or $4 million today. You know, today I could get you that. But what we're trying to do is something different. You have had a life change. This is not like winning the lottery, you know. This is like, this money has a purpose. A lot was taken from you. You don't get multi-million dollar cases by getting your ankle sprained, you know. These cases involve life-changing injuries, so it takes life-changing money to be able to address and replace what was taken from somebody. Can you think of examples of that, or is that consistent with your experience?
Yeah, and it's not just what's done to that person; it's what's done to their family. You know,
great point.
In that case, you know, this person had children and grandchildren, and eventually those grandchildren are going to have children, and his inability to be able to ever work again or even move again was so catastrophic that it affected multiple generational levels, economically, emotionally, you know, even physically in some cases. I mean, it was dramatic, the effect on the entire family all the way down the chain. And the money that we were able to get them, which was a phenomenal amount, one of the largest recoveries in North Carolina history, you know, that money is going to change generations of that family to be able to support them, make sure those kids and those grandchildren can go to college, you know.
And he was that guy, right? He was the guy that was going to be able in a position to be able to do that because he was hardworking, he cared right. about his family, you know. And he was that guy. So that it makes sense. But if we hadn't done, let me ask you this: if we had not done all those things, if we had tried to take a shortcut, you know, I mean, we could have resolved it earlier, a little bit earlier, right? We could have saved 6 months, but you know, and we could have saved ourselves a lot of time and energy and expense. What would that have done to the result, the settlement value, or the amount of money that he would eventually receive?
It would have been 1/5 or 1/6 of what we ultimately got.
And those, and whoever did that would still be able to walk around and beat their chest and say, "I got $3-4 million or whatever it was," right? You know, so that to me is why it's important to have, you know. And here's another thing: some of the times when you hear firms talk about, "Well, we got this verdict for, or this you know, judgment against somebody for this amount of money," you know. And then you find out later, or if you're on the inside of the industry, you find out that, but y'all didn't recover anything. That was a paper judgment. That was not worth it. That was not worth the paper it's printed on. So it's important that these things be structured properly so that you can actually give the client the benefit of that effort and that and that result. So we talked about the qualifications. We talked about the commitment. And we've talked a little bit about, we've talked about the experience, you know, we've talked about reputation, you know, is there anything else that you think is essential for people that, for people trying to make a selection about who they should hire in these, types of cases, in catastrophic cases? Is there another piece of this? Specifically, what I'm thinking of is character. Is that a factor in this whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, what you want is somebody that, obviously, we've talked about his experience, is, you know, has all this background and has done all these things before. But you want somebody that's going to be honest with you. You want somebody that's going to tell you the truth. You know, I tell clients often I'm a kind of a straight shooter, and you know, I've never had a client that I've told that said, "Well, you know what? I don't want you to be a straight shooter. I want you to, you know." They always say, "Well, good. That's what I want. Tell me what it is. If there's something bad about the case, I'm gonna let them know. There's, you know, we got a problem in this case, but here's how we're going to try to overcome that. You know, and I'm going to tell them the good and the bad and the ugly. You know, because you have to have somebody that's honest with you about those things, so you understand what the risks are." That case that you were just talking about that ended up with millions and millions and millions of dollars that could have been settled for two or three, you know, we had to be honest with that client that there are risks. If we file this lawsuit and we go all the way through this process, there are risks here. There was a risk that client could come up with $0 in that case. And we had to disclose that and be honest with them and say, this is a risk, but we think if we do these things that we're doing, it's going to be a great result. It's going to work out for you. And it did. And here's the other thing. Clients often, all the time, are asking me, what's my case worth? You know, if you don't have an experienced lawyer that's done a catastrophic case, they're going to have no idea if that case is worth $2 million or $20 million or $200 million. They're not going to know. And in these cases, we see in our firm, because of the experience of our people having done these cases all the time, you know, we'll round table these things and we'll come up with values of what we think this case is worth. And time again, we've seen the case end up resulting in almost, I mean, it's scary how close we've gotten to the actual result of these cases, predicting them sometimes a year ahead of time. Because we've done these things, we know what the value is. We know what we should be heading for, and not to take that cheap offer for the client.
So over and over again, for our exceptional case meeting, we have a meeting every couple weeks about exceptional cases, about where they are, what needs to be. And exceptional cases are cases where people are catastrophically injured. People have very serious injuries, and we're trying to, you know, make sure that we've done all the things that need to be done to maximize these cases. And Jeff leads that division. And so we have this meeting, and for record keeping purposes, I have to keep a record going all the way back, and it is phenomenal how accurately we estimate the value of those cases over time. And initially, you know, it's funny how as each piece of the thing comes in to play, you know, as we get a report back from an economist, as we get a report back from a you know, for future medical analysis, as we get an opinion back from a doctor, as we do an insurance coverage assessment, as we do a liquidity assessment of a defendant, as we do all these different things, the different pieces come into place, and we're able to get a clearer and clearer and clearer picture of value based on our experiences. Jeff, well, let me finish talking to you about character. You talked to me about, you know, how you were how important it was that you be able to tell clients, injured people, and give them accurate information. Like, I'll never forget, when early in my career, I used to do a lot of criminal work. I used to do a lot of heavy, heavy criminal work, federal criminal work and all this, where people were looking at just a lot of time, you know. And I would see these guys that would come into the rooms with the defendants. And they would start off making all these promises. Oh man, you got a great case. We're gonna do this, and we're gonna do that, and we're gonna do this, and we're gonna do that. Man, we're gonna show them who's boss, right? Then they get paid. Then the next conversation. Oh man, now I've seen the discovery. I didn't even know about this. I didn't know about this. I didn't know about. Oh man, this is not the same case as when you talk to me and all this. And I remember sitting there thinking that's not true. You know, I hadn't been doing this, but for just a few years at that point, and I'm like, we both know what's going on in this case from a very early. First of all, we know it's being prosecuted in the federal court system, which had a 98.6 conviction rate. They didn't take cases that weren't going to they couldn't win. You could see from the preliminary documentation, you know, warrants and indictments and those kinds of things. You knew the investigators because we had worked with them in the past. Like, they knew, you know, this. And they suggested this in order to get the case. And then once they had the case, they would sort of say, well, this is all different than I am. And I knew that was not true. And I committed to myself at that point, I don't ever want to be that guy, you know?
Right.
I never want to be that guy. I'll tell you another place where character is important in the case that that you just mentioned. And people would never know this, right, unless you see it. In that case, as in a lot of cases, that case had a work comp piece and a third-party liability piece of it as well, right? So you got to work both cases at the same time, and we have different departments that'll work both of those cases at the same time. And and at the end of that case, we could have tried to resolve that workers' comp case. The medical piece of that workers' comp case. Now, if we had resolved the medical piece of that workers' comp case, that would have resolved for multiple million dollars, I guess, right?
That would have been a big fee for us.
And we would have gotten a huge fee for that effort, right? Did we do that?
No, that was not the right thing for the client. We left the medical open so they could get treatment for the rest of their life.
Sometimes it's the right thing for the client. But in this case, it's not the right thing for a client because his injuries are serious enough, and that medical treatment would be serious enough to where, even though that would personally benefit us to some extent by getting a fee, that would expose him to a world of problems because it would take away their obligation to provide him with medical treatment going forward. So would anybody have ever known about that? If we had done that. I mean, people do that all the time. Sometimes it's the right thing to do. We probably could have defended that position, but in this case, it didn't feel like the right thing to do, and this was a better thing for him, and we were able to negotiate that result. So I think if you're in this kind of situation and you want to and you're taking those things into consideration, the qualifications, the experience, the commitment, the character, the team. Let me ask you one other thing. I think this is the last piece of this. Collaboration. We talk about collaboration all the time. Our firm is not, you know, our core values do not allow for ego. Is not a place where people come in and pound their chest and one person tries to, you know, belittle somebody else. It is intended to be a collaborative environment. Do you agree, and why? Why would that be the case?
It's really different than any other law firm I've worked in. In most law firms, when you take a case to a lawyer, that's the one that lawyer is the one that's working on the case, not the other people in the firm. Like, every lawyer is sort of, they call it eat what you kill, right, sort of thing, you know. So if you bring a case in, that's your case, and that's, you know, that's not my case, that's your case. And so you're working that case. In our firm, you're not hiring a lawyer. You're hiring a team of lawyers. And so all of our lawyers, whether it's the pre-litigation lawyers that they're working on cases before we file a lawsuit, or the litigation lawyers that are, you know, taking it after a lawsuit's filed, or it's our workers' compensation team, or it's our mass torts team, or it's our exceptional case team, whatever the case is, all of those lawyers are consulting together on those cases to try to make sure we're doing the right thing strategically for the client, we're maximizing the value, we're using the right experts, we're building the case, and we're talking through things. And it's great because sometimes, you know, in those meetings, I'll bring up an idea, and everybody's like, no, I don't think so. That's not a good idea. Okay, all right. Well, once we think through it, like, you know, we can flush stuff like that out. Sometimes I'll bring up an idea, and somebody will go, well, that's a really good idea. We hadn't thought of that, you know. So the more minds we have working on stuff, the better it is, because, you know, you got different people coming from different perspectives. You know, this person's done this kind of work longer. This person's done this other kind of work longer. Just life background experiences. And when we pull all that together, it's pretty remarkable what we're able to do. You know, you're not hiring a lawyer who's got 20 years experience. You're hiring 120 years of experience from a law team, or 200 years of experience, whatever the case is.
So we had a conversation Wednesday for our exceptional case, and I'm remembering Audrey, who just happens, who's a military, her husband's in the military, had been in the military for a long time, and is very respected in the military community and all this. But because of her involvement in that, something came up, and she was able to contribute some important information about military and how it operates and how it works and how it might be impact in this situation and benefit our clients. So that's a perfect example of what you're talking about. You know, it's also something that so my son, who's in college, came home. I think it was last weekend, and he said, "Hey, man, I want to ask you some questions about, you know, what you do and all this kind of stuff." And I'm like, "Okay." So we pull off to a corner one afternoon, and he's asking me, and he's like, "You know, do you like what you do?" And I'm like, "Man, you know, I mean, I absolutely love what I do." So we talk about it for a few minutes, and then he goes, "You know, hey, what makes you guys different? What makes you unique to this practice? You know what I mean?" And people have asked me that before, and I've thought about it before. And every time you're with a marketing people, they always ask you, "What's your unique sales proposition," or whatever, you know. But this is my son saying this to me, and I want to be able to give him a complete and comprehensive and genuine, authentic answer. And so I tell him a few different things about some of the things that we've talked about, commitment and character and some of these different things. And I said, you know, one of these things that's different is this collaborative process. And I started thinking about it, and I thought, you know, almost every lawyer in our firm has at one point or another had their own law firm, when you think about it. And that's different, I think, than if you just start off working in another law firm. If you start off working in a law firm, and I've worked with people who've worked in other law firms, you know, and they just assume that there's another client coming. You know what I mean? If you have started your own law firm and been in your own law firm at some point in time, you realize just how precious these clients are. At anybody in the whole world, they could have picked to put their case, their financial or their family's future in somebody's hands. They put it in yours, and you realize, and that's a deeply personal connection if you've had your own law firm. And it's personal in other ways too, because you had to take care of that client in order to get another client, and you needed that other client, especially in your career, in order to be able to pay for your light bill or your apartment rent or your diapers or your, you know, school lunches or whatever, you know. And so people that have been through that, and people who have started and built their own law firms, have a different way of looking at these kinds. Plus, they're more resourceful, right? An insurance company says to them, you know, and we see this all the time. We'll talk to a lawyer, and they'll say, "Well, you know, your case not worth very much money." And some other lawyer might go, "Oh, okay, you know." And then what happens when somebody says that to you or somebody on our on our team? What's your response to that?
Well, I mean, to your point, I've had my own law firm, and so I mean, if I've got to pay the light bill at home, you know, I've got to pay my staff. I got responsibilities when I own a law firm, so I've got to scramble. I've got to fight. I've got to take whatever that problem issue is, and find a way somehow to overcome that. I can't afford to let that problem or that adjuster just sort of say, well, this is how it's going to be. No, it's not going to be that way because my client, you know, is important to me. I know them personally. You know, they're my client. I've owned this firm, you know, and I've got to find a way around that problem. So it makes me think outside the box, so to speak, to be able to come up with a solution for that problem. You know, so I'm not seeing that $15,000 case like the adjuster is. I'm seeing a $30,000 case, and I got to find a way to get that adjuster from 15 to 30, and I'm going to find it. One way or another, I'm going to figure out a way to do that, scrap, claw, fight, hire somebody, whatever I got to do it. And if you haven't had your own firm, you've never had to experience the necessity of doing that for that client that you're really close to, because you don't have, you know, 2,000 clients. You got 15 clients, you know,
right.
So it's important to them and it's important to me and my family. So, you know, the fact that we have almost all of our lawyers have had their own firm at one point or another is critical, because they're all fighters. They're all scrappers. They're all resourceful, and the clients are important to them.
Thank you, Jeff. When we come back, we're going to talk about some more about some of these issues. So we'll take a break.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.